not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show. Appreciate it. It's gonna be a great show. I'm very excited. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to one of my dearest friends, Justice Healy. This man, he's my self-appointed engineer for the show. Jigga Man! He's been awesome. This man, he flew out to San Antonio, Texas from San Francisco on his dime. He's helped me with every form from getting the interface to creating the platform to making the icon to when this whole thing was really just an idea, when the Mookie Mel Show was really just an idea. So thank you, bro. Thank you for making one of my dreams a reality. First off, let's get this ball rolling. I am Mookie Melville, a.k.a. Mook, a.k.a. King Mookias the Great. But yeah, this is my show, so welcome everyone. I'm very excited to be here. First of all, let's just get into why I wanted to make a show, because this has been a daunting question. Everyone's been asking me, and I appreciate it because it shows interest, you know, but I made a show because I wanted to make a show. I made this show for a lot more reasons than that, a lot deeper reasons. I made this show because I feel that true forms of communication is a lost art these days, that although we say we're speaking to a different individual, we truly are not able to voice our opinions or our thought process or what we're truly feeling. So really the ideas of this show and its reasoning are to help individuals learn to voice their opinions and what they truly mean. And second, to have people open up and to understand, and maybe they may not agree, but have the dignity and respect to hear the opposing side's opinion. So that's that. That's the show. This is probably going to be one of the first and last times I'm going to give a full little background on myself. As I said, I'm your boy, Mookie Mel. I've seen a good amount of life in my short life, my young, youthful, ever-aging life, you know. I've bounced all over the country growing up. I've been in multiple states. I've been blessed to travel. I've left the country. I've lived in Iowa, to Denver, to Dallas, to Connecticut, to Maine, to New Jersey, to Boston, you know. So I've been very grateful in a lot of my experiences. And one of the biggest things I've learned throughout my travels and as I've gotten older, you do not need to leave the country for culture shock. Trust me. Those younger days in Iowa are all starting to make sense now that I'm older. But that's that. The way my show is planning on going, this is going to kind of be the format moving forward. These first couple of shows, first three shows, a couple is two, as we all know. Woo! But my first three shows are going to be about 45 minutes long, and they're going to be mostly me talking. They're going to be tailored to have more or less one main topic. So, for example, today's topic will be amateurism. And with that being said, it's going to hit three subtopics. So each subtopic will be sports, scholars, and entertainment / music. And with that being said, the main topic will relate to some form of all three of the subtopics. And like I said, it's my show, so it may be a stretch sometimes. You'll be like, I don't know. Let's roll with it. But, like I was saying, the first three shows will be about 45 minutes long. solely from yours truly. And then the following shows after that, I'm going to have a guest on my show every time. And those shows after my first three, so my fourth show, will have a guest, and those will be about 30 minutes long. It's going to go from the same format, hitting all three subtopics, but my guests are going to have specific points of action. You know, I'm trying to bring in people who have a different point of view than what society may expect them to have on their experiences. And with that being said, like I was referring, I've been so lucky that I have friends all over the place. It's been great. I'm super blessed to have incredible friends all over. You know, shout out to The Bean. Shout out to Dallas. Cali, what up? That's it. See how I hit all over the country. They went east, central, and west coast. But no, I've been blessed to have these incredible friends, and I really want to strive to pick their brains and emphasize on some of the experiences they have had and now their outlook on life and their insight. With that being said, let's get into it. Huh? How about that? I'm going to try my best to be transparent throughout this entire show, episode, series, saga. I'm a very goofy character, naturally. I love to tell jokes. I love to be silly. I love to smile. I love to just have a good time. I'm a real enjoyable person. For anybody that knows me listening to this, for the most part, I am. I'm also a true Gemini. I'm also going to have some very serious key moments throughout this show. And moving forward, I think that's a part of the goal, which I'm trying to achieve, and the part that a lot of these tough conversations need to be had and even need to be listened to. But at first, it's going to be very lighthearted, you know, try to get to know my audience. I'm really trying to get a lot of feedback from everyone. So please, please respond. Please reach out. Social media. Please follow my Facebook page, The Mookie Mel Show. There's a lot more coming. Me and my partner, Justice, as I mentioned, you know, we have a lot of things in the bag, so look forward to it. But as I was saying, I'm going to just try to do me and hit all the points, hit all the conversations, crack a few jokes, make some people think, make some people question, you know, but that's why we're all here having conversation in the first place, right? So the first topic today is going to be sports. Talking basketball, Jones. I'm talking basketball, Jones. Hey, ooh, ooh. We're gonna talk about this Adidas investigation in the NCAA and corruption and what's really going on. Oh my goodness! For those of you who aren't up to date, the NCAA is having a major investigation with Adidas, which is a, you know, retail sports company. It's so big, the FBI is involved, all right, y'all? Let's get that understand. Like, there are federal indictments going around right now with this case. It's the real deal, y'all. So let's take a second and talk about it. So those of you who don't know about the Adidas investigation, essentially Adidas has now led for a handful of powerhouse schools to be investigated because of illegal money transactions to these amateur athletes. It's not as direct and clear cut as that, but just Google it in a nutshell. Make your own opinion. But somebody going to jail today. Like, there is a lot of problems with what's going on. So let's talk about it. Let's address it. What's really the problem right here? Is it the fact that the players are getting paid, which has been happening for years under the table, that Adidas is paying the coaches who are paying the players, or that they got caught? I think those are really the three big, what you may call options, A, B, C. I didn't see a D. Did anyone think of something else? But I think those three pretty much covered it. First of all, let's talk about this investigation. These quote-unquote amateur athletes. Well, I digress. Let me give a little insight because some of you may not know me. I'm a former basketball player myself. This goes back to the thought process I mentioned. I may identify as a male black athlete. But I'm so much deeper and so much more compelled than that. I need to think of myself as an individual. So I used to play basketball in high school and in college. I was pretty good. I went to prep school in New Jersey. I played in Maine and what was the best, and it still is the best prep league in the country. I ran into some things here and there, but yeah, I played basketball. So I know how a lot of the ins and outs kind of go. I played at Rider University for a year in New Jersey. It's not, you know, it's nothing crazy. It's not Duke or UNC, but it's a low mid-major Division I school. It's a, you know, it's ball is life. So I have a little insight, a little different perspective, I may say, when it comes to these athletics and, you know, what some opinions may be formed, but those may not have insight on the topic which is being spoken. Let me pretty much give it to y'all cut and dry. I hope I'm talking to someone that knows nothing about sports, because it's gonna be so glaringly obvious to you. You're gonna be like, yeah, why didn't you guys see this before? But let me just give you some insight. So there's something called AAU, and that's Amateur Athletic Union. That's what that technically stands for, right? So AAU teams are pretty much the elite teams for travel basketball, for amateur basketball players whom are typically around the age of, it can start anywhere from the age of 8 all the way to 17. And these quote-unquote amateurs play basketball, they travel, this, that, whatever, whatever. So essentially, the best teams get sponsored by sports retailers such as Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Reebok, etc. So this has been going on for a while. The big contractors such as Nike and Adidas typically have the best teams. For all my athletes and basketball players, former basketball players, if you're listening to this, please iterate. Yeah, give me a yeah, he's right. He's yeah, yeah. You know what? He's saying something. Yeah. But, you know, typically Nikes and Adidas get the best teams. You can see this in college basketball. It's apparent through the endorsement deals. The better teams, you know, have these contracts. These amateurs are being persuaded by these major companies with the gear they can receive, you know, the sports equipment. This is top of the line stuff kids are receiving for free. Hey, free money, y'all. Free money, y'all. Listen, free, I said. Mind you, these are kids are receiving, you know, what may be retail shopping at Foot Locker, you know, $170, $180 pair of shoes for free. And let's say you get 2 pair of sneakers per every tournament. You go to a tournament every other weekend, if not every weekend. Like, let's think about this, people. Let's put a money transaction on this. If these kids are receiving, let's say $150, right? These shoes cost $150. If they receive 2 pairs of shoes in 1 weekend, that's $300. Obviously, this is a very lucrative deal for anybody. Shoot, offer me some free shoes. I may do something crazy. Like, if I'm 13, 14 years old, I can't tell you what I'm going to do. So this is pretty much the root of the problem. Luna, excuse me, y'all. That's Luna. That's my dog, my ace bone. But, you know, that's a big part of the problem, that these kids are literally fighting deception. You know, it's no longer a matter of where they're going to learn the best basketball skills or this, that. It's where they can get the best materials from the biggest company. With that being said, it goes all the way high up to the collegiate level. The collegiate level, that these guys are now corrupting sports. But the funny part to me, the funny part to me is this has been going on for as long as I can remember in terms of sports. I don't know anybody else playing sports, but if you're on a premier circuit in any sports, there's corruption. I don't care what anybody says. You could be playing water polo. If you're the best water polo player, I bet people are giving you free stuff, period. And that's on the amateur level. So let's really think about what's going on in these marquee sports, which we pay so much attention to already, such as football and basketball in America. You know, these organizations at these colleges are essentially million-dollar investments bringing in billions of dollars in return. Whoa, let's think about that. They're putting in millions for this and getting billions in return, huh? Yes, like, let's really diagnose what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a step back. So some of the questions that come along with this are always, should these athletes be paid? But in a sense, they're getting paid from the endorser whom cycles the school? Question mark? Why wouldn't the schools just pay the athletes directly from the money or the income they're receiving from their jersey sellings or the tickets sold at the event? Does that make sense? Or let's think about, are there even amateur athletes anymore? Question mark? Is there such thing as a non-professional? Like, I understand by definition, a professional is someone who gets paid for said craft. But if this kid, you know, kid's supposed to be a kid these days and the art of being a kid is lost, I feel like I'm a better kid than some of these kids. I'm like, yo, crack a smile, have fun. Like, some of these kids are taking life way too seriously. And these crafts, which are supposed to be fun, these kids are putting in, you know, their free time, which I commend and is cool. But if it's no longer the child's decision for them to put this much time into the craft, when is it crossing the line? You know, it's to the point now that these big companies even are paying parents for their child, pretty much. Is, you know, to some extent, they're buying the kid. Like, if I send my son, if I have a premier point guard, my son's top 5 point guards in the country, if Nike will pay for him to go everywhere and he's on a Nike team and in high school in AAU, there's a good chance that Nike's also writing me a check. And just think about that. That's so powerful. Like, your child now understands that they are becoming one of the financial providers for a household. And that is daunting. That is a lot. I can't even. Think about what kind of pressure some of these kids are feeling. How can they be considered an athlete if everyone around you is getting paid but you? There should be a new word for this. Like, oh my goodness. There's a word that's coming to mind, but I don't want to say it. This is ridiculous. This is exploitation at its finest, and we love it. We view it as entertainment. We watch high school kids on ESPN, and the best part to them is the exposure. What? Everyone loves the thought of free. So why are these kids being given away for free? Next, I want to talk about music and entertainment. This is always a fun and interesting conversation. Like, who doesn't want to be a celebrity, honestly? Like, who wouldn't enjoy free stuff, going to the craziest parties, living a luxurious life? But, you know, we often have to play devil's advocate and think about how draining and exhausting it is to be a celebrity or an entertainer, because you're literally feeding other people's energy. You're feeding these people your energy. Like, I'm feeding you my energy like you're a baby. Like, eat this energy. And it's so draining. I've spoken with a handful of friends who are in the entertainment industry, and obviously, you know, you love it, and anything worth doing isn't going to be easy, but it's physically draining. And I can only imagine the toll it takes to perform almost every night, you know, in the, oh man, geez. So with that being said, I wanted to pose a few questions though, in terms of music, because I've really been thinking, like, why do I even listen to music? One of my good friends, he said years ago, he had gotten very, very sick, and he actually almost died. But besides the point, he told me after he gotten sick and he's gotten a lot better, he told me, he was like, yo, Mook. I was like, what's up, bro? He goes, I honestly don't listen to much music anymore, man. He's like, maybe some jazz or something like that, but I'm tired of putting other people's thoughts in my head. Boom! That's your mind being blown. Whoa! I was like, oh, man. And it took me a while to really come to grips with that type of statement, because I was thinking, you know, whatever. He's tired. You know, he needs to rest. He didn't hear that new Future or that Tim McGraw, matter of fact. That was pretty good, actually. Like, I don't know. So after a few years, that really began to resonate with me, though. And I began to think about how powerful that is to have another individual's thoughts in your head. Wow. Think about that. That's like, it's brainwash. That's literally the definition of brainwash. To control someone else's mind. Like, what? Think about that. So the question I wanted to pose for each of us as individuals is, what is the goal we're trying to achieve when listening to music? With that being said, I understand, you know, different genres or songs or artists go with different events, moods, etc. But honestly, to the core of that, like, that goes back to the whole individual thinking. Like, to the core, why do we listen to music? Like, are we trying to understand a different culture? Are we trying to embed ourselves in the culture? Are we trying to understand a different socioeconomic standing? Like, what are we really doing when we're listening to music other than allowing someone else's thoughts to enter our brain? And I think it's bad. Or is it good? Or is, if it's a good message, is that good that I'm thinking someone else's thoughts? Because it's a good thought, right? I don't know. And then I began to think of it deeper, like, okay, you know, maybe since this is on the radio and it's so popular, it's okay? Question mark? Or since it's so popular, that means they're doing something right, right? I don't know. It's like baffling to me. Like, so, today I listen to these new rappers, and I know everyone goes crazy about this, and I'm not even remotely trying to be like Joe Budden or anything crazy. But these new rappers are ridiculous. And I think it's really come to reality that rap is now, and hip hop has turned into what it was always spoken into existence to be. You know, it's foolishness. It's no longer about content. It's, I don't know. But who am I to judge, right? Do it for the culture. Okay, let's talk about that. Do it for the culture. What? Hold on. Wait a second. Let's think about this. Do it for the culture. So if this individual is doing something negative, it's that negative projection for the culture, and why would we want to promote that? And isn't the whole point, though, of music to allow individuals to express themselves, but we're grouping ourselves together once again? I don't know. Let's think about that. So, is mainstream music or underground music better or worse for the culture of music in general? Let's think about that. Is something considered more elegant or like unique if it's underground to a genre? So let's say, you know, this underground rock group became big overnight and they blow up and they become mainstream. Is that good or bad for music? Seriously, I'd love to hear both sides because I don't know. I'm at the point now where I don't even know who I like to listen to other than Tupac. Like, other than that, I feel like artists change or go with the trend or try to be so different that I'm like, I don't think I like you. You know, so that's difficult for me to really fathom what's good for the culture of music anymore. Finally, I want to move on to our third subtopic, which is scholars, which today will be college. And I hope everyone is still following this amateurism theme, which I tried to mention earlier. You know, in terms of the sports and athletics, that was apparent. In terms of music, you know, I feel that you're still considered an amateur almost to some extent when you're underground, you know, when you're not a mainstream artist. Obviously, yes, you're getting paid and yes, you're doing your craft, but to some extent, you know, you still don't have that official stamp, you know, yeah, you get that official check, you know, it's you're not quite there yet when you're still underground. But like I was saying, finally, we're going to talk about college. And college, I feel, is, you know, I mean, that's what they say, the difference between what profession you choose and to be a, what profession you choose is like a professional occupation. You dig? Come on, guys, you're no longer an amateur once you receive a degree and are applying for certain jobs. But I want to speak on college and just the difference it makes between professionalism and amateurism. And is this line even here? Is it a true line which reality presents to us? Or is it something that society has helped us form to create a socioeconomic difference? Whoa, that's all from education. Like, whoa. So a little more insight about me. I also worked with a nonprofit for a little while in Boston. And I worked with 14 out of the 22 public schools. Wow. Oh my goodness. I did not know there could be such a difference in one city. I mean, obviously, you know, every school is not going to receive the same treatment, this, that, different socioeconomic standings, tax properties, property taxes, rather, you know, so the better looking neighborhoods are going to have the better schools, period, just because those schools are able to tax on the dollars around the school. Cool. But man, it's not even funny. Like, the difference in some of these schools was ridiculous. And I've really started to, like, try to digest this whole monopoly around education. And this is probably out somewhere else, and I'm not saying I'm the first to say it, but I felt like I thought of this. Education is such a monopoly that the higher you go in education, it no longer is merely a monopoly, but it is the official stamp, which I was talking about. Same thing from underground, you know, in mainstream, that the higher you go in education, the difference that literally makes the difference of what socioeconomic standing or realm you deserve to be in. And I'm not saying it's right, but that's how society plays education these days. It's wild. So I went to college. I'm a college graduate myself. I'm very proud. I'm very thankful. I had a lot of support. Great parents. You know, that was cool. But let's play devil's advocate, right? Like, honestly, you know why you went to college and why I went to college, to get a job, right? But why did I go to college? Let's think about that. Why did I go to college? You know, majority of the time these days, people go to college because A, they want to make money. B, their parents say they have to go. C, they understand how society works. And in order for them to really get paid, young player, get paid that dollar, you need to go to college. And it's literally a monopoly. And a lot of people have to understand that college at one point was similar, or supposed to be similar, to the American dream. You know, you were supposed to be able to go to college, study what you wanted or what you were passionate about. That passion and drive for whatever you chose would then lead to a successful career. So majority of the time, you know, we're going to college with that dollar sign in mind. We're no longer following the passion. We're following the check. We're following the secure the bag alert, you know, and it's disheartening when you kind of lose that innocence and begin to enter the adult world and realize, whoa, I don't think I like this, but I gotta get paid, so whatever, you know. And then it's to what point are you willing to sacrifice your mental being and happiness to make a dollar? And that's easier said than done, okay? Trust me, like, everyone always says, it's funny, like, only rich people say money can't buy happiness. I guarantee you a lot happier crying in that mansion or your nice one-bedroom apartment than, you know, sleeping on your friend's couch where you can barely cry in peace. Like, trust me, the grass is always greener. So, you know, obviously I'm able to play devil's advocate because I am a college graduate. And, you know, I'm looking from the other end of the spectrum because I do have that degree. I have that piece of paper, which makes a difference. But it's no longer about finding a passion these days necessarily. It's no longer really about pursuing what makes you happy. And I think we get so caught up in this dollar, which I get, you know, it's a very vicious and aggressive, slippery slope. That's one of those slopes, like trying to walk down the steps in Boston in the middle of February. You gonna slip, but if you fall, it's up to you. So, I mean, you could fall in the trap of trying to catch a dollar and something you enjoy, or you can do something you love for free. Well, who does anything for free, right? Except play amateur sports in America. Psych, nah. But, so why do we really go to college? Honestly. And let's play devil's advocate. Let's say I never went to college, right? Let's say, you know, I graduated from high school. And I was able to get a job working for, I don't know, Teach for America or something, right? And I'm able to build my resume, work my way up the company. So now I'm 25. No, let's say I'm 24 or 23, you know, around the age kids are getting out of college. And now I have all this experience, though, versus a fresh college graduate who has a degree but no experience. Who's in a better position? Because a lot of times, I mean, at least what I've seen. And mind you, I just graduated from college. I'm seeing what's the freshest of the fresh in the end of 2017. Like, I see a lot of people who have college degrees and can't find a job or occupation or career. And now it's the thought process of, should I have even gone to college? Why did I do this? You know, and it's, I understand the frustration because many people close to me have gone through this issue, through this problem. So what if I don't go to college, just get my resume up, this, that, you know, I understand my profession well, the company loves me. Oh, so you go for your next promotion or interview, right? To try to make your next move vertically in the company. Oh, you keep hearing this and you don't know what's going on. So you're like, what's going on? And then it's this, oh, then it finally comes full circle to you. Someone finally has the courage to ask, hey, did you go to college or do you have a degree or this, that? And you say no. And then that's when reality hits. You just hit the wall of corporate America. Or pretty much any industry, I hate to say, but to some extent, any industry, you're going to hit a wall if you don't have a degree, and it's going to be a financial cap. And that is a tough pill to swallow because now, you know, you're a hard worker, you have a resume, this, that, your lines begin, and you're like, oh, wow, they're trying to seal my potential. Is it like what? Can you do that? Can they do that? Can you do that? So it's, Think about that. Then how about this, right? Think about this one. So you do go to college, right? You get a degree from a mediocre to moderate university. Awesome. But you're not one of these premier athletes. You're not one of these premier scholar students. You're just regular. You're regular in all types of ways, you know, like you're not tall, you're not small, you know, you're not the smartest, but you know, dummy. So you go to school and but you're having to pay for it. You have to pay 100% for your tuition, housing, books, all that. So you go to a full 4-year university. Let's be generous and say your tuition was $45,000 a year. Which is very gracious these days because college tuition goes up annually. Yes, annually. That goes, Uncle Tom, Uncle Sam, these are not your friends. These are the mean uncles coming to collect. Yeah, you wanted to use the credit card last week. Well, you know what? You owe me $200. College increases every year, and let's say you pay $45,000 for a 4-year university. You now owe $180,000 because you had to take out student loans and this, that. Okay, so now you owe Uncle Sam and Uncle Tom and Uncle Rick and Uncle Jerry $180,000 because it has to be multiple uncles for it to be this much money. Oh, wait a second, Uncle Clavis told the bank that they have to put interest on your student loans. So now what was once $180,000, you now owe, let's say, $196,000. Does that sound good? Yeah. So you're paying this off until you're about the age of, I don't know, let's be generous and say 50. So I graduated at 23, 24, and I'm paying off my student loan until I'm 50. And that's relatively pretty good. Whoa. Time out. Whoa. So my question is, why do we go to college? Is it literally the financial pressures that we're committing our futures to? And finally, when will the divide and uprise come? Like, I foresee this. I'm telling you all, I foresee this. So, you know, at one point, everyone would speak on how, oh, everyone has a high school degree. Okay, so you have to go to college. Oh, you know, we've all heard it now. Everyone has their undergraduate degree. You need to get your master's. Along with this higher education, as I previously said, is creating a gap between socioeconomic groups. So the more this trend happens, the larger this gap will be and less people will go to college. So that means that more and more people without degrees are going to be applying themselves and they will be knocking on the door. And I think this group of people will outweigh those with degrees. Now it's going to, you know, have a lot of variables and this, that, but It's a matter of being persistent and keep knocking on doors and not accepting no. It's gonna be interesting. This definitely will be interesting.
I want to say thank you to everyone for tuning in. This pretty much concludes episode 1 of the Mookie Mel Show. It's been awesome. I really appreciate y'all. I look forward to seeing everyone next week. Tell a friend. Share the news. Look, even if you didn't like it, share it, because bad publicity is publicity, you know? But no, be patient, learn with me, grow with me. I'm going to now turn it over to my man, Jigga Man. Close it out, hit y'all with a few facts, because this show would be nothing without him. So go ahead and let the people know, Jay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what's up, people? My name is Justice, a.k.a. Jay, a.k.a. Jay Fresh, a.k.a. Jigga Man. just kidding. So, when Miles, you know, first started doing this podcast, you know, I reached out to him and offered my assistance on the audio tech side, just because I have a bit of history with that. So, you know, we spent a weekend together in San Antonio a couple weekends ago, and we kind of laid out the foundation for all this. And since then, it's just been virtual. It's been all virtual. And, you know, we spent a lot of time on this, so, you know, we really hope you do enjoy the product, because, you know, that's the overall goal in the end, is so you could have a good listening experience and experience it, whether it's on your, you know, morning commute Monday morning, or if you're just hanging out on Sunday. So, you know, as of now, we only have one social media page, and that's on Facebook. The link is fb.me/Mookie Mel Show. And let me repeat that. It's foxtrotbravo.mike/Mookie Mel Show. fb.me/Mookie Mel Show. So please go on there, like it, follow it, share it. You know, please just help us in any way possible, because we do want to reach a greater audience, and we do, you know, want to get more people involved and, you know, help us grow as a collective. Lastly, you know, like Miles said earlier, you know, please give us feedback in the comments, or you could even post it on our page timeline. You know, show it to your friends and family. Let us know what you think. Let us know what they think. You know, you could give us some topics you'd like to hear about, and, you know, we'll gladly read all this and, you know, take it into consideration. So that's it for me. Please have a good Sunday. Enjoy the football games. Don't drink too much beer. Peace and love. Healy out. Have a good one, y'all.